All right, we join up now with Chuck Mendenhall. He writes for MMAfighting.com, which is an SB Nation website. And we do bring on Chuck to discuss UFC 205 this weekend, a very big-time card. And, Chuck, I want to get to your thoughts on a lot of it, but just conceptually, were you surprised that after as gritty of a fight happened at UFC 202 in the main event, that Conor McGregor, not even 3 months after just an absolute 25-minute brawl, that he was headlining UFC 205. Was there any aspect of that turnaround that you thought was a little surprising?
Not really. You know, when it was happening at 202, and that was a back-and-forth war, there was a couple times he really had his bell rung in a couple of those rounds. It did occur to me, because I think we were all projecting he might be on this card going into that one, as long as he got out unscathed. So it was a little bit of a concern, but I felt like he quelled that right after the fact. He seemed like he was still doing okay, and that he would be able to compete on the New York event. His bigger thing, I guess, was just kind of holding out for leverage with the UFC and placing himself into a position. I don't know if you saw where he tweeted out, "Beg me," and he kind of made the UFC sweat it out a little bit. But that's more his game, is to use his leverage and get the power position. So. But I think ultimately he came out of it okay. He did take his lumps, but it didn't seem like I don't think he suffered any big-time damage in the fight.
Yeah, and this is something that we're more used to talking about in football or baseball or basketball. Okay, this injury was sustained. This is how many weeks you're supposed to go again. You know, a football player, Cam Newton, gets in the concussion protocol. He ends up sitting out a game. There's progress. But with a fight like that, I mean, we're not really used to having that dialogue as to how many weeks later is it acceptable to fight again. And as you can probably tell by hearing me say this, that I enjoy watching the big cards, but by no means am I any kind of UFC expert. So I just remember sitting down, watching that fight at a bar, and just seeing blood all over the ring, and just seeing how many times those guys slug each other in the face. And it was a very entertaining fight, but then I thought, you know, how the hell is this guy fighting again in 3 months? Or not even. So it sounds like you're not surprised. I mean, how does that process of figuring out what the proper recovery time is, how does that work?
Well, generally they are examined after the fight. They go through a concussion protocol as well. And as soon as he kind of came out of it, and you weren't seeing he was getting suspended for any amount of time, that he didn't really suffer any injuries that were reported in that fight. You know, at that point, I guess it felt like, well, if he wants to do that quick turnaround, he will. And I think I was just kind of more basing it on that. Some people, even if it's cosmetic and cuts, and you just go through a very exhausting 5-round fight like that, they still don't want to turn around and take a fight of this magnitude. But I feel like Conor McGregor is one of those special guys, and he's also one of those guys who I always, talk about. He's so happily materialistic, because he's one of those guys who loves to cash those checks. So I think all of that really goes into his motivation. But it feeds who he is into his greatness as well. I kind of trust him. I feel like he's one of those guys. If he was truly hurt, he'd be pretty sincere about expressing that beforehand.
For sure. And you use the term "of this magnitude." So what is he getting into with Eddie Alvarez here?
Well, this is a big one, because this is it's historic in the sense that he could become the first guy to hold two titles simultaneously in the UFC. The UFC has already been basically on record saying that they won't allow him to hold the featherweight title, because they don't think he can either get back down to that weight. And if you've seen him in a couple of those fights, he does hollow out. He looks very, very gaunt when he gets on that scale. Or he just won't be able to defend it enough to keep that weight class moving. So it would be more of an accomplishment, and then give up the title, from what it sounds like, and he would remain that lightweight champion. But given who he is and how he's transcended the game in the last couple of years, just breaking pay-per-view numbers, especially with this Nate Diaz, this last fight, which I think broke the UFC 100 record by about 100,000 buys, I mean, that's the kind of magnitude we're talking. The guy, he commonly talks about starting up, Conor Inc. He has his own media enterprise at this point, the Mac Life, which, is getting exclusive rights basically to his interviews coming up, any of the exclusive stuff that he's going to be doing in New York City. He's just that guy, he creates his own fortune a little bit, and I think that this particular fight, he's really cashing in. He has the chance at history, and obviously being Madison Square Garden, I feel like it's it's primed to be maybe it, on paper. This is the biggest card I think that's ever happened. I think it's primed to break all the pay-per-view records as well.
We're joined right now by Chuck Mendenhall, writes for MMAfighting.com. I'm Lewis Woodard. This is Night Moves on SB Nation Radio. All right, Chuck, what kind of opponent will Eddie Alvarez be?
He's a tough one, man. Like, if you looked out, it's funny because I think some people are a little confounded on this fight. They think, well, Conor's been so good about in his striking, you know, very, you know, he's been able to use the range, and he's a pretty precise striker and all that. But when you really look at Eddie Alvarez, not only is he a game wheelhouse guy, like he'll get in your face and he'll stand in the pocket and kind of trade with you in that firefight kind of style, but he's also a very good boxer in general. And he knows how to kind of use octagon control, meaning he's able to kind of put the fight where he wants it at times of trouble, or sometimes just to score offense, you know, to score points. And he's gone through some really tough guys when you look at it. His last three fights were two UFC champions, with obviously winning the belt. The previous one was Anthony Pettis, who was the UFC champion. He beat Gilbert Melendez, who was the Bellator champion. And before that, earlier on, he beat, you know, Michael Chandler, who's you know, also a Bellator champion. He's got that pedigree to step in there in big moments and really seize that spotlight. But obviously this one being the biggest fight, I think, of his life, kind of going into this the biggest payday and fighting a guy who really is at the top of his game at this moment. So he's got his work cut out for him. But honestly, given that he's a normal 155er, he's, you know, he's seen so many big fights, I think he's up for it. I don't think mentally he's affected. I think he's going to give Conor McGregor everything he wants in that fight.
For sure. Now, you've talked, and I've heard other people say it too, that this is a big-time card, UFC 205. So if you're not discussing the main event, what fight are you most excited about other than that one?
I would say, you know, honestly, that co-main event, it kind of flies under the radar. Tyron Woodley is going to be defending his belt against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It's just one of those fights where you're really talking about a guy with, you know, seismic power in his hand, and Tyron Woodley, who can kind of flash knockout, put you out very quickly, against a guy who will literally pick you apart. And I think uses range and his kicks better than any fighter in the UFC, and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So I look forward to that. Like, who's going to be able to do what in that fight? I think if Woodley comes out and he's able to lay some a big shot on Wonderboy, I think anybody absorbs his shot, they go down. But what I keep sort of thinking is Wonderboy's a very smart fighter, and if he can just keep that range, you feel like he might just kind of snipe him from the outside. And if he's able to do that, that fight could not only be like a very aesthetic fight where you see a guy at the top of his game in mixed martial arts, but also maybe a finish the other way where you see, like he did with Johnny Hendricks, when Wonderboy beat Johnny Hendricks, just putting on a showcase against a champion in a big fight. So I look forward to that one. I like that kind of clash of style. And, you know, you really can't go wrong. There's a couple of other really good fights. I would say also watch out for that Khabib Nurmagomedov fight with Michael Johnson. Nurmagomedov floating around that lightweight title shot as well. And Michael Johnson's just a really, really game opponent. I feel like stylistically they could cancel each other out. It might come down to like one or two sequences in there that's going to sway the fight in somebody's direction.
All right, it's a big-time card this weekend at UFC 205. You guys want to get ready for it, check out MMAfighting.com. Check out Chuck Mendenhall's writing on that website. You guys can also follow Chuck on Twitter. He is at Chuck Mendenhall. Chuck, man, really appreciate your analysis.
Awesome. Thanks, Pat.